Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 28th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the Northeast braces for a powerful winter storm.
Apple shares rally after sales top estimates.
Shares of Robinhood plunge on weak earnings led by drops in crypto trading.
And Toyota is back on top, reclaiming the mantle of the world's top-selling car maker.
Thousands will gather this morning at St. Patrick's for the funeral of a rookie police officer gunned down along with his partner. I'm John Tucker. Details straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all lost. Rafael Nadal has reached the finals of the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are under pressure this morning while NASDAQ futures rise. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are lower, down 6 points. Dow futures down at 90, and NASDAQ futures are higher of 51. 10-year Treasury down 10/32, yield 1.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.21%, and the euro, 1.1135 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the market shortly. First, a powerful storm is bearing down on the Northeast with the promise of snow over the weekend. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin's got the track on it. What's it looking like, Rob?
The storm system that's going to be developing off the North Carolina coast later today and developing explosively tomorrow off the coast of New England is going to produce quite a bit of snow, especially for portions of New England. It looks like for the district in Baltimore, the snow, which starts by late today and ends tonight, only puts down about 1 to 3 inches. We'll be dealing with snow developing in the tri-state area during the evening hours, and looks like the city's probably going to pick up about 6 to 10 inches, with areas of Long Island seeing over a foot. New England gets the jackpot. The snow doesn't arrive until well after midnight tonight, but it comes down hard at times tomorrow, and it's going to be very windy. Parts of New England will see well in excess of a foot.
All right, Rob, so when do you think the snow is going to end?
The storm will wind down in the district probably after midnight tonight. 1 to 3 inches looks likely. For the city, it's going to wind down late in the afternoon, early evening on Saturday. And for Boston, we're talking about the snow ending not until the early morning hours of Sunday. And again, there's probably over a foot in Boston. I'm Rob Carolin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. Of course, we'll be checking back with you to get the latest all morning. Now to the markets, where shares of Apple are front and center. They're up 4% in early trading after sales that beat estimates. And we get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a sign Apple was able to work through a supply chain crunch fueled by the pandemic and chip shortages. The surprisingly strong results suggest that fears of supply upheaval were overblown. Apple CEO Tim Cook had warned late last year that shortages could cost the company more than $6 billion in sales during the all-important holiday period, but the tech giant navigated the crisis and benefited from a flood of new products, including the iPhone 13, Apple Watch Series 7, and updated Macs. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. On the flip side of earnings this morning, shares of Robinhood are down 15%. The company posted disappointing earnings across the board. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A year after Robinhood found itself at the center of a meme stock frenzy, it's now facing challenges that could be more difficult to overcome, with fourth quarter revenue and losses that were worse than expected. And the hits came from all directions: a steeper net loss, lower monthly active users, and options and cryptocurrency trading slipped below third quarter levels. That's not all. Robinhood says operating expenses are expected to rise 15 to 20% this year. Robinhood was already down close to 70% since its July IPO, and this morning, that was before fourth quarter results. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. The recent tech sell-off has taken a bite out of Mark Zuckerberg's fortune, and now Warren Buffett has surpassed the Facebook CEO on Bloomberg's Billionaires Index. We get more on that from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It's a reminder of the enduring power of Buffett's approach to value investing. It also reflects a precipitous decline in tech stocks since the beginning of the year. Since then, Zuckerberg, co-founder of Meta Platforms, has lost $15 billion. And the richest person in the world, Elon Musk, has seen his net worth fall by $54 billion. The relative resilience has been in value, the bedrock of Buffett's investment philosophy. His Berkshire Hathaway has outperformed tech so far this year, declining just 4.2%. Tech is down 15%. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Doug, you can blame some of that tech weakness on the Fed as investors now brace for a possible 5 rate hikes this year. This morning, there's an important economic reading that the central bank watches closely, the Employment Cost Index. Today's reading could be another hot one. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Everyone likes a fatter paycheck, and the third quarter employment cost index posted a record increase. At the same time, we all pay as businesses lift prices to recover labor costs. Bloomberg Economics says today's number could be a keeper as inflation rages. It's more reliable than average hourly earnings, as it's less affected by specific industry trends. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Benny, thank you. Back to the markets now. Oil trading near its highest level in 7 years. In fact, crude is headed for a 6th straight weekly gain. Traders say robust demand plus heightened geopolitical risks are causing the gains. And checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 28 cents at $86.89 a barrel. Brent is up 0.4% at $89.72.
Now, definitely a far cry from the height of the pandemic, Karen, when oil touched $33 a barrel. Speaking of the pandemic, looks like Hong Kong's making a move to ease COVID restrictions, shortening quarantine requirements for incoming travelers. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the details.
The Hong Kong government is reducing the quarantine from 21 days to 14. That's still about the toughest in the world. And Hong Kong is maintaining a ban on people arriving from 8 countries, including the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. The shorter quarantine period will begin February 5th. After 14 days in a hotel room, people will have to self-monitor for 7 days. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. And staying in Asia right now, Toyota finished out 2021 as the world's top-selling automaker again. The Japanese company kept production on track despite a year of supply chain turmoil. Toyota and its subsidiaries sold 10.5 million vehicles, a 10% increase. Runner-up Volkswagen sold just shy of 9 million. And again, NASDAQ futures on the rise, up 32 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. Clouds and 30 degrees in Central Park ahead of the nor'easter headed our way. Let's get the details on that. More going on in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Nathan, New York police officers deliver a final salute today to Jason Rivera, a rookie cop gunned down with his partner a week ago. A funeral mass planned at St. Patrick's Cathedral for the officer, who at age 22 was recently married and barely into his second year of service on the force. Cardinal Dolan will preside over the service today. Many of the city's top leaders in attendance, Rivera and his partner, Officer Wilbert Mora, were fatally wounded January 21st by a gunman who ambushed them in a hallway as they responded to a family dispute. Mora's funeral is being held next week. And a call to Ukraine's leader, President Biden, has reaffirmed total support. The story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
In a White House readout, Biden underscored the commitment to Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Biden said he's exploring other macroeconomic support and a decisive response if Russia troops invade. But as communications continue to go back and forth, State Department Deputy Secretary Wendy Sherman says Russia continues to move at the border.
We certainly see every indication that he is going to use military force.
Sherman says sometime between now and mid-February. Russia says, meanwhile, it will need time to look at U.S. proposals. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Biden says he'll name his choice to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer by the end of February. Announcing his retirement at the White House yesterday, Breyer reflected on his decades on the bench.
When you sit there and see all those people in front of you, people that are so different in what they think, and yet they've decided to help solve their major differences under law.
President Biden intends to nominate a black woman to replace Breyer. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin was spotted dining out at a New York City restaurant 2 days after testing positive for the coronavirus. The visit Wednesday to the upscale's Elio's drew attention from photo-snapping bystanders. Palin had also dined there at the same restaurant on Saturday, despite a city rule requiring patrons dining indoors at restaurants to be vaccinated. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John. Thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanchion.
All right, Nathan. Rafael Nadal, the only one of tennis's big three who's playing the Australian Open. Roger Federer injured. Novak Djokovic deported. Nadal into the finals. He beat Matteo Berrettini in a four-set semifinal. The other semi going on now. Daniil Medvedev leads Stefano Tsitsipas 2-1. Only once has Nadal won the Aussie Open. That was 13 years ago. If he wins Sunday, he surpasses Federer and Djokovic. Currently, all three have won 20 Grand Slams. Rangers in Columbus up 2-0 5 minutes in, but then down 4-2. Blue Jackets won 5-3. Artemi Panarin was in on all three Ranger goals. Islanders lost to the Kings 3-2, so L.A. went 2-1 in its tour of the three New York area teams. The Devils lost in Tampa 3-2. They've dropped 6 of 7. At the Garden tonight, it's the Rangers and the Minnesota Wild, and Henrik Lundqvist will have his jersey number 30 retired in advance. He went on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
It's amazing. It's a surreal feeling, you know, to have, obviously, the moment itself is going to be incredible, but also an opportunity to bring all the people to Madison Square Garden, people that meant so much to me throughout my journey, friends, family, and most importantly, all the fans that supported me throughout my career. It's going to be amazing.
Lundqvist, 15 years, the Rangers starting goalie. Two NFL teams hired new coaches, Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. He's been the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. Chicago going with Indianapolis assistant Matt Eberflus. The Giants said to be deciding between Brian Daboll and Brian Flores. Decision could come today or tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 141. NASDAQ futures still higher, but not as high as they've been in the session. They're up 27 points now. 10 years down, 11/32. The yield, 1.83%. A pandemic update next. Andy Pekosch of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health joins us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Weight Breakers. This winter, a warm welcome awaits you. The Breakers is committed to making your stay even better with exceptional experiences, gracious service, and unparalleled seaside glamour. To learn more, visit thebreakers.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Hi, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. NASDAQ futures, they were on the rise for much of the morning, but they have now turned lower. So all futures are lower this morning. European shares also falling, extending a drop after Germany's economy shrank more than expected. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, right now S&P futures are down 21 points, so they've been deteriorating as well. Dow futures down 183, NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany's down 2%. Also deteriorating. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 1.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 30 cents at $86.91 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8% or $14.10 at $17.81 an ounce. The euro 1.1129 against the dollar. British pound 1.3384. The yen's at 115.60. Watching Bitcoin, it's moving higher at $36,450. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Karen, a gusty winter storm remains on track to batter the East Coast. New York City could get as much as 10 inches of snow. President Biden says he'll fulfill his promise to nominate the first black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court after applauding retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. And Russia's foreign minister says the American proposal to defuse tensions with Ukraine do contain rational elements. Sports. In tennis, Rafael Nadal advances to the finals of the Australian Open. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all lose. And basketball, the Warriors beat the Timberwolves. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and a Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it's time for our weekly checkup on the pandemic with Andy Pekosh, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor Pekosh, it's always good to speak with you, and if I'm reading the trends right, it looks like cases are moving lower while deaths are on the rise. What does that tell us about where we are in this Omicron wave?
Well, we always know that cases come through faster than the deaths and hospitalization rates. And so for parts of the country that have peaked early with Omicron, you'd expect to see the deaths lag behind those peaks a little bit more. But it's important to note that some parts of the country got Omicron a little bit later than others, and so we should still be seeing surges of Omicron cases in some states. So it's really important for you to think about the local conditions and what it looks like in terms of transmission there as you start to think about going out and doing other activities.
As we think about these things, we're seeing certain places around the world start to ease up on restrictions in some cases. Hong Kong is shortening quarantine requirements for international travelers who arrive. We've seen San Francisco remove an indoor mask mandate as long as people can show that they're up to date on their shots. How should we be striking the balance when it comes to sort of easing up on COVID restrictions?
Well, you know, a multifaceted approach is always helpful. You know, we have testing capacity in terms of rapid antigen tests that are becoming more and more available each week. We know a lot about the period of time in which you're infectious, particularly if you're vaccinated. And we can use all these things to try to limit the time in isolation of cases which can maintain, you know, our ability to stop case numbers from increasing, but also get people back into society faster. I think it's really important, again, to note that there are some variations in terms of cases around. You don't want to ease up on these restrictions right after you've hit the peak. You want to wait until case numbers are dropping and maybe even plateauing before you start letting up on restrictions, because otherwise you're really setting up a possibility for a second surge of cases if you let up these restrictions too early.
Where do you see the case counts going right now? It seems like they're still pretty elevated compared to where we are or where we were in earlier parts of the pandemic.
Absolutely. And I think the big question right now is in, you know, we always expect case numbers to start dropping, but where they settle in is really the big question mark. You know, we have a lot more unvaccinated people here in this country than in other countries that have seen Omicron surges. So does that mean that we're going to settle in at a higher plateau of cases a week or 2 weeks from now, or are we going to continue to drop down to really low levels like we saw sort of pre-Delta? That's the big question mark right now, and we're really just going to have to monitor each individual state and areas to see how these things go and where we plateau in case numbers.
We may have lower levels of vaccination when it comes to many other countries with similar sized economies. At the same time, we have a lot of people who have gotten infected as well, whether it was mild or severe. Do we have a mix of vaccinated and infected people where we can start thinking about whether we're getting close to an endemic stage for the COVID pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we now have to start considering, because of the large numbers of cases that caused by Omicron, we now have to start considering how that population immunity is changing because of infection alone, as well as the vaccinated population. Initial data, though, is showing that the Omicron infections aren't providing as much broad immunity as previous variants. So it may still mean that if you've got an Omicron infection, that you're much better off getting a vaccination a few weeks later to really boost your immunity and broaden your immunity so that you can be recognizing more different variants. That's the research that's really sort of at the forefront right now, to try to understand how these Omicron immune responses are going to protect us from future variants.
As always, Professor, thank you for your insights and the information. Andy Pekosh is Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg. He's the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Looking at markets, Now all the futures are falling. NASDAQ futures had been higher on Apple's earnings, but now they are modestly lower with NASDAQ futures down 8 points now. S&P futures are down 18 points. Dow futures leading declines this morning, down 189 points, or a little more than 0.5%. 10-year Treasury's down 12 32nds, the yield 1.84%, and the yield on the 2-year right now 1.21%. Checking Bitcoin, it's still in the green at $36,400. Straight ahead, tale of two earnings. We'll look at Apple and Robinhood, and we'll have a look at employment cost index data that the Fed takes a very close eye at. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, eyes on the skies this morning with a nor'easter on the way. 6 to 10 inches of snow possible in the city. We'll be in the low 30s tomorrow, upper 20s by Sunday.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at ibkr.com/RIA. A powerful storm heading for the northeast. Stay tuned for the latest with Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn in just a minute. But first, shares of Apple are higher this morning after sales that beat estimates. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Apple recorded record revenue of $124 billion in the fiscal first quarter. Record sales across segments like the iPhone, wearables, Mac, and services. There was disruption in the supply chain, particularly with semiconductors. That largely impacted the iPad, where sales missed estimates. But things look bright for Apple as they go into a big year in 2022. Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg News, San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. On the flip side, shares of Robinhood are down almost 15% this morning following disappointing earnings. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A year after Robinhood found itself at the center of a meme stock frenzy, it's now facing challenges that could be more difficult to overcome, with fourth quarter revenue and losses that were worse than expected. And the hits came from all directions: a steeper net loss, lower monthly active users, and options in cryptocurrency trading slipped below third quarter levels. Robinhood was already down close to 70% since its IPO in July, and that's before this latest earnings miss. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Economic data also in focus this morning at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. The Labor Department issues its employment cost index. That's the broadest measure of labor costs and one that the Fed watches closely.
In corporate news, Karen, Toyota is back on top. It finished out 2021 as the world's top-selling automaker again, beating out Volkswagen by roughly 1.5 million cars.
And back to the markets now. Oil trading near its highest level in 7 years. In fact, crude is headed for a 6th straight weekly gain. Traders say robust demand plus heightened geopolitical risks are causing the gains. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 63 cents at $87.23 a barrel. Brent is up 0.9% at $90.10. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. We're also watching earnings crossing the Bloomberg. Caterpillar reporting fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, 30 degrees in Central Park, and road closures around St. Patrick's Cathedral. John Tucker's here with what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. A morning funeral is planned at St. Patrick's Cathedral for a rookie police officer gunned down with his partner a week ago. Let's get more in this report from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Jason Rivera was 22. He was recently married and barely into his second year of service on the force. Cardinal Timothy Dolan will preside over the service. Many of the city's top leaders will attend. Rivera and a partner, Officer Wilbert Mora, were fatally wounded January 21st by a gunman who ambushed them in a hallway as they responded to a family dispute. Mora's funeral is being held next week. Thousands of uniformed officers, as well as ordinary citizens, filed into the cathedral yesterday for Rivera's wake. Friends and fellow officers remembered Rivera and Mora as caring and dedicated. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Radio.
A major winter storm expected to reach most of the East Coast today. Storm watches and warnings are posted. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn tracking the storm for us this morning.
John, while the models haven't come completely together, but they are starting now to get closer in their solutions, so we're going to bump up the totals, particularly from the city east out over Long Island. There'll be parts of northwestern New Jersey that pick up about 4 inches from the storm. It looks like as you cross into the city, 6 to 10 inches is likely. Once you get out across Long Island, we're talking about over a foot in many areas. In fact, there'll be some places in eastern Long Island that are over 18 inches from the storm. It all winds down late tomorrow afternoon, and there will be some blowing and drifting, especially across the island in coastal Connecticut. John?
Rob Carolyn, thanks very much. President Biden has thanked Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer for his decades on the bench.
He has patiently sought common ground and built consensus, seeking to bring the court together. I think he's a model public servant in a time of great division in this country.
The retiring Breyer will serve out the remainder of the court's term. President Biden plans to nominate a black woman to replace him. And the U.S. is calling for a U.N. Security Council meeting to discuss Russia menacing Ukraine, with U.S. officials still fearing that Moscow may attack its neighbor at any moment. And China and Russia will sign an agreement to build a research station on the moon. The two countries say they aim to complete basic infrastructure construction for the lunar station by 2035. The announcements, the latest signs of closer cooperation between the two countries. Russian President Putin is expected to be the most notable world leader to visit Beijing for the opening of the Winter Olympics next week. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Rafael Nadal, now 35 years old, hasn't played all that much lately, but he's into the finals of the Australian Open. He beat Matteo Berrettini in four sets, and Daniil Medvedev just beat Stefano Tsitsipas, also in four sets. So 3:30 a.m. Sunday, New York time. Nadal, winner of 20 career Grand Slams, versus Medvedev, who's won only one, but it was the most recent one, last year's U.S. Open. Three New York area hockey teams all lost. Rangers in Columbus, 5-3. Artemi Panarin had a goal, two assists in defeat. The Rangers come home tonight to play Minnesota. It is Henrik Lundqvist night. His number 30 will be retired. 15 years as the Rangers goalie. Lundqvist won 520 games. The Islanders lost to the L.A. Kings 3-2. The Devils lost 3-2 at Tampa Bay. Knicks play tonight in Milwaukee. That game does not start until 10 o'clock. It appears the next coach of the Giants will have the first name Brian. Either Buffalo offensive coordinator Brian Daboll or Brooklyn native Brian Flores, who was just fired as the head coach in Miami. Flores had his in-person interview yesterday. Two teams made hires. Denver's going with Nathaniel Hackett, who's been the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. Indianapolis assistant Matt Eberflus, the new head coach in Chicago. Conference championship game Sunday. The Chiefs went 50 years without going to the Super Bowl. Now they've got a chance for three in a row. They host the surprising Bengals, who were 2-14 just 2 years ago. Then it's the 49ers and Rams in L.A. That's where Super Bowl 56 will be played. The Niners lost Super Bowl 54. The Rams lost Super Bowl 53. But the Niners, who finished in third place of their division, just beat the Rams in Week 18 in L.A. That got them into the playoffs. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us with a focus on earnings. Obviously, Apple is the standout this morning, Kriti.
Yeah, top of mind, 100%. AAPL is your ticker, up just shy of 4%, gaining after, of course, an earnings beat and really proving that they can navigate those supply chain issues. Nathan, it's interesting to see that tech is going to be kind of out front and center, when it comes to those earnings stories, because it's not necessarily reflecting in the stock market. Futures actually had opened in the Asia session higher, and now we are down in the pre-market trading. Nevertheless, Apple shares, the kind of trickle effect is happening across of its supply chain. Broadcom, for example, AVGO is your ticker, up 2.3%. Skyworks, a similar story. SWKS is your ticker there, up 1.3%. Even the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSM, for those ADRs, up about 0.5%, Nathan.
So certainly we saw a lot of consumers buying Apple products despite all the headwinds with the economy, and we're seeing more evidence of the strength of the consumer from the credit card companies this morning.
Yeah, and they're showing up in their stock prices too. Visa and MasterCard putting out some credit card data that shows that spending is soaring despite that Omicron variant headwind in the short term. The ticker V for Visa up 4.2% in the pre-market. MasterCard up higher as well by 0.4%. MA is the ticker there. We should also talk about the other big earnings story that crossed this morning. That is Caterpillar, of course. CAT is your ticker, up 3%. Once again, a similar story to Apple. Their profits are rising. They've offset some of those supply costs. And this, of course, is coming as they continue to meet demand for diggers, bulldozers, trucks that muted the impact of those rising raw material costs. Nathan, I'm going to leave you with one downside mover because I'm giving you a ton of good news. I'm going to give you some bad news here. And that, of course, is going to be Western Digital. They also reported earnings. Their EPS, their sales fell short. WDZ is your ticker, down 10%. And it is actually the worst performer in the pre-market at the moment.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the Friday morning open, a little more bad news. As Kriti mentioned, tech had been leading the gains this morning, but now futures across the board are moving lower. We have S&P futures now down 16 points, Dow futures down 152, NASDAQ futures are lower by 10 points, and the 10-year Treasury is down 11/32. The yield 1.83%, yield on the 2-year 1.21%. Crude still moving higher on the NYMEX, up 0.7% at $87.18 a barrel. Brent has touched $90, $90.01 for a barrel of the international benchmark. And Bitcoin still in the green, $36,400. An update from the nation's capital next with Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather bracing for snow. 6 to 10 inches for the city. More than a foot possible on Long Island by Sunday. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 20s so we can dig out. Right now it's 30 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Some breaking earnings crossing the Bloomberg. Chevron posting disappointing profits after the oil giant failed to take full advantage of surging energy prices as economies around the world rebounded from the pandemic. And futures this morning are moving lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now, with Dow futures down 181 points. S&P's dropped 19. Well, NASDAQ futures are lower by 7. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.84%. Gold is down 14. Oil is trading higher, but Bitcoin is little changed. Japan rose 2.1% overnight, while European markets are also under pressure, led by 2% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30 PCE and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Apple beat estimates. Robinhood loss was wider than expected. Shares are down 14% in the pre-market, and Visa EPS beat estimates. Regarding the other earnings this morning, Caterpillar EPS beat estimates. And in other news, Shopify's price target was cut to $900 from $1,400 over at Mizuho. And wrapping things up, Teradyne was cut to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Karen, Russia's foreign minister says the American proposal to defuse tensions with Ukraine contains rational elements. President Biden says he will fulfill his promise to nominate the first black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court after applauding retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. And a gusty winter storm remains on track to batter the East Coast. New York City could get as much as 10 inches of snow. Sports. In tennis, Rafael Nadal advances to the finals of the Australian Open. The Rangers, Islanders, Devils, they all lose. Basketball, the Warriors beat the Timberwolves. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The hidden perils of canceling your retirement. I'm Alexis Leondis, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Some 3 million people retired earlier than they expected during the pandemic, voluntarily or not. Now, with savings running thin, the latest COVID wave on the brink of subsiding, and talk rising about plentiful jobs and rising wages, many older people might be tempted to return to work. If so, they should proceed with caution. It's not going to be as simple as collecting a paycheck again. Anyone considering unretiring needs to adjust their expectations. They probably won't be able to return to the same level job as they left, if they can get hired at all, and will get paid less. Bring Social Security into the picture, and the decision gets even more complicated. For those still in the workforce, dreaming of an early retirement, knowing how hard it can be to unretire might be the best argument for hanging in there as long as possible. I'm Alexis Leondis. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A new study says gas stoves are contributing more to global warming than previously thought because of constant tiny methane leaks while they're off. The same study, published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, raises new concerns about indoor air quality and health because of levels of nitrogen oxides measured. Toyota is working with Japan's space agency on a vehicle to explore the lunar surface with ambitions to help people live on the moon by 2040 and then go live on Mars. The vehicle is called Lunar Cruiser, whose name pays homage to the Toyota Land Cruiser sport utility vehicle. Its launch is set for the late 2020s. The vehicle is based on the idea that people eat, work, sleep, and communicate with others safely in cars, and the same can be done in outer space. And Google will invest as much as $1 billion in India's second-largest mobile phone operator as firms race to offer inexpensive data and digital offerings. Alphabet, which owns the Google search engine, is taking a nearly 1.3% stake in Bharti Airtel. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden warning of a possible Russian attack in a call with Ukraine's president, Republicans mounting against a bill aimed at boosting competitiveness against China, and the president heading to Pittsburgh to promote infrastructure while a couple top state Democrats aren't going to be there. Also making news, Vice President Kamala Harris potentially making history as a tiebreaker for President Biden's Supreme Court pick. We're joined now by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins while we wait for the president to announce who he may nominate to succeed retiring Justice Stephen Breyer. Emily, interesting story on the terminal from your colleague Greg Giroux on all the tiebreaking votes Vice President Harris has already cast and how the next one could be for the high court.
Yes, I mean, this is the reality of a 50-50 Senate, is that as the vice president, she does have to step in and cast that vote. It kind of also shows why Harris herself could not be nominated for the SCOTUS role. I know that her name's kind of been tossed around. She's a black woman. She is an attorney. But at this point, she really is needed for this critical vote. And it also goes to show just how partisan the process of picking a Supreme Court justice has become. I mean, only a decade or so ago, it was possible to nominate someone to the Supreme Court and to have senators from both parties support it. That's just not expected this time. Of course, the Biden administration is trying to get some bipartisan support. On the short list of names are individuals that many senators have already voted for to be judges in lower but still fairly high federal courts.
All right, let's turn to the call last night between President Biden and Ukrainian President Zelensky. What do we know about what was discussed?
So we're actually hearing some mixed messages on that. Now, the White House said that they had a long, productive conversation, but it doesn't seem like they are on, like Zelensky and Biden are on the same page about exactly how imminent this threat on Russia is. Biden is saying, and you're hearing this from the White House, that an attack could happen at any point. But Zelensky doesn't have that same rhetoric. And one of the reasons is that if you are the president of Ukraine, it's not beneficial for you to be promoting the message that your country can be invaded at any time. We also know that the two of them did discuss sort of the economics, the potential sanctions, other help to Ukraine. There's definitely concern within Ukraine and as well as within Europe that potential sanctions the U.S. is considering on Russia could impact other countries as well.
What's the room for diplomacy now with the threat from Russia with these troops amassed near Ukraine? What are you going to be looking for heading into the weekend?
Well, Biden is saying that he's going to be keeping lines of diplomacy open. So that's definitely something to look for, as well as Congress is coming back next week. What are they planning in terms of legislation that could put sanctions on Russia? Is that something they're going to be able to move on? Is that something that's getting bipartisan support? Remember, that's critical. You've heard senators on both sides of the aisle say that if they pass something, they really don't want it to be partisan. They want to make sure that the U.S. is taking a strong and united stance on this issue.
All right. Let's turn to Capitol Hill now, where there's some friction around the China competitiveness bill in the House.
Yeah. So to be clear, a version of this bill has already passed the Senate, and the Senate and the House have already agreed that they are going to come together with the separate versions of their bills, hash it out, and come up with something that they can all support. So really, all the House bill has to do is pass the House, and they don't need Republicans to do it. That said, they do want Republicans on board. You've heard Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo come out and say that Republicans really need to be supporting this, or at least not bashing it. But Republicans in the House say that this is a very partisan bill, more partisan than the Senate version. They have some concerns about it, and they don't feel like Democrats really worked with them as much on it. Democrats, of course, refute that, saying that elements of this bill did pass in a bipartisan manner. I think if you are going to be seeing a vote next week, which we are expecting, you might not see a lot of House Republicans going along right now, but I would be paying attention to what comes out of the bill that the House and Senate conference together. I think that's going to be the real one where Republicans are going to be looking to get on board and to say yes.
Only about a minute left here, Emily. President Biden's going to Pittsburgh today.
Yes. So he'll be there talking infrastructure, talking about manufacturing. One notable thing, though, is who isn't going to be there. You have several candidates for top offices in Pennsylvania who were offered to come with Biden and said they had scheduling conflicts. And you are seeing a couple top candidates show up, like Senate candidate Rep. Connor Lamb. But it speaks a little bit to how Democrats might be thinking of making appearances with President Biden in this midterm election year. Biden's poll numbers are not looking good right now. They've been continuing to go down and go down. Lots of concerns for his administration. And this could be a sign. It'll something definitely to watch within the next year. How much are Democrats embracing the man at the top of their party, and how much are they trying to separate themselves from him?
Well, he's getting out just in time. There's a winter storm on the way. Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins, stay warm this weekend. Thanks for joining us. Read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1, 105.7 FM, HD2. S&P futures now down 20 points. Dow futures down 190. NASDAQ futures lower now by a tenth percent, 15 points. The 10-year Treasury down 10 32nds, yield 1.83%. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.